There, do you have any idea what you're listening to?
London Philharmonic?
It's Venus.
Huh?
Venus.
Why not? We bounced signals off the moon's surface. There's no reason that Venus shouldn't radiate impulses.
I don't mean the static. Can't you hear it, the other thing?
What other thing?
Listen to it, Paul. Listen to the voice.
Hello and welcome to Media Geek. This is your weekly look at the world of grassroots and independent media, as well as a critical examination of our media environment. My name is Paul Riesmandel, and I'm your host. On today's program, documenting the handmade nation. I'll be speaking with Faith Levine about her upcoming book and documentary about the rise of do-it-yourself crafting. You do want to stay tuned. Handmade Nation is a forthcoming documentary and book by Faith Levine, herself a crafter, that looks at the growing movement of people creating handmade crafts with an independent spirit that don't necessarily resemble the ones your grandmother might have made. Faith tells us more.
Handmade Nation is about a community of makers, and I guess it's, you know, a pretty broad name for a large group of people who work under a number of different mediums. So everyone basically has a common interest of you know, a creative drive in making something by hand. Our title of the documentary, Handmade Nation, came out of my interest in the resurgence of handmade and DIY art and craft around the country. So I started documenting what was going on, and then what later on came a book out of that. So,
why did you choose that title? I mean, so obviously everything is sort of, people are united in the fact that they make things by hand. But why did you choose that title? Why did you choose really to look at this? I mean, there has to be something besides the fact that people are making things by hand that unites it, because obviously there's nothing new per se about people making things by hand. And yet there's a sense I get from both looking at the little preview of your movie that you have, and from reading your blog, that there are some unifying characteristics.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think a big part of the DIY art and craft community is the community aspect, because of the internet, which has allowed people to have so much sharing of information and to build these online communities around their interest in making and creating and sharing their process and sharing these visual images. What I saw happening, I mean, I guess the way that I came at it was, I've been an artist, you know, I've been making things my whole life. I was a working artist, and I started to participate in these indie craft fairs that started popping up all around the country, and more and more I realized that there was so much going on all over the country in all these different cities, and I wanted to make sure that the connections that were being made and the community that was growing around this act of creating and making, and this art community and this art movement, was kind of given the respect and the attention that I felt like it deserved. That was my motivation, and I guess where the name kind of comes in, because we visited 15 cities throughout our production process, and I've visited many more since then. And there's all of these art communities that belong in their own cities, but then also there's this community that exists, online as well.
When a lot of people think of craft fairs, they probably think of something their mothers dragged them to as children, with table upon table of quilts, Christmas ornaments, and pillows embroidered with flowers, puppies, and kittens. How does this new breed differ?
The majority of the people who associate themselves with this community and sort of the demographic, if you will, is women probably between the ages of, I would say, 22 and 35 would probably be the main group of mostly women who are a part of this community. And a lot of what a lot of these makers are doing are taking a traditional medium or method and kind of putting a modern twist on it or a modern aesthetic. And so, you'll just have people reinventing an old process and you know, putting their mark on it and giving it, you know, a new flavor, if you will. So they, you know, it's definitely not a craft fair that you would have gone to, you know, 20 years ago, but it is in a way. There's a lot of the same, products or materials being used, but it's just a lot more modern and more hip.
So, for example, I mean, what type of processes, what type of materials?
Well, I mean, it's all across the board. I mean, you have metal smiths, and you have people, woodworkers, printmakers, photographers, ceramicists, a lot of, you know, people working specifically with textiles and using recycled and reclaimed materials, jewelry and household products, and people also making, you know, art objects as well. Our generation has been sort of overly force-fed so much product and so much advertisement and so much media, and this is sort of a backlash to that, and people are stepping away and taking the time to make things themselves and to appreciate something that's made by another person. There's really no way to say, you know, as an overview of what the philosophical drive would be, because it's a lot of different types of people who fall under this community. There's not one type of person, so everyone's going to have their own motivation. And again, I come back to the idea of the common bond of wanting to make something, wanting to create, and wanting to share that with your community on a level of commerce, but also just on a level of process. I mean, you have people who are part-time, makers who are making a living part-time, and then you have people who are just hobbyist crafters or artists, and then you have people who are full-time, and this is, you know, their 60-hour-plus, you know, day job. And everyone, you know, has relationships and shares information with each other, and it's a very supportive community, which is really fantastic.
So there's an element at which this is an alternative at the very least, if not for some people possibly an opposition to mass marketed items, things which are, made in factories or, you know, something which, you know, you get something in a Target and it looks handmade, but you can get in any Target across the country.
I mean, yes, it's an alternative market for a lot of people and an alternative economy. And, you know, people, consumers are a lot more educated and looking for other outlets and other ways to support, you know, their local economy or to support a person where they know the process behind of where, you know, their item is being made. And that's been a really great push for a lot of the people within the community, so they can, you know, there's been support from the consumer side as well as within the community, which has been really nice. And, you know, for a lot of people, there's a definite political aspect to doing something themselves and taking, you know, control over making the decisions of what products that they're going to bring into their home or what materials they're going to use when they make something themselves. And so there is a level of a political motivation for some, not for everyone, but for some.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, two ideas or labels that I've heard you use and I see often applied are indie, you know, short for independent, or DIY, which is short for do-it-yourself. And, you know, we also see these same adjectives used with regard to music, especially forms of, you know, like rock music or folk music, and media, right? Indie cinema, DIY cinema, indie newspapers, indie media. Is there elements of crossover there or overlapping affinity with the same, you know, the Handmade Nation indie crafts?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's a number of people who are involved with the, you know, the DIY art and craft community that have come directly out of the underground music scene. And there is a number of parallels between the two, you know, making, you know, self-releasing your own music and your own records and, you know, making your own small business and, you know, that network and that community is very, very similar. Same within the independent, you know, zine culture of self-publishing your own zine. And, I mean, at many craft fairs, you'll find zines and you'll find some independent music as well. So, I mean, it's just another sort of spur off of, you know, having a creative community that you have something in common with other people that share those, you know, those same motivations.
And is there also an element of having, you know, independence in controlling what it is you make and how you make it and how it's sold or how it's distributed, you know, which is also, you know, similar ideas that come up in zining or come up in independent music. Is that an aspect for a lot of people crafting?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think that when you know, you know, when you're sending out a little note with every order that you sell, or when you're interacting with someone who's walking up to your table at a craft fair, if you're someone who's selling your work, and, you know, getting to have that personal connection with another person is a large part of it. And also, you know, keeping in mind, like, you get to choose if you work with a retail location, like where your work is being sold and how you're represented in a larger economy. And that feeling of, again, coming back to the empowerment and having the control over where your work is going is definitely, I think, a large part of the motivation for people within the community, for sure.
So can you give me a couple of examples of some crafters who are working out there and, you know, kind of what they do and maybe where, you know, as folks we might see in your documentary in progress or we might see in your book?
Absolutely. Tracy Bull is a woman who she works with glass. She does fused glass. But she's also an illustrator, and she's based out of Massachusetts. She has a company called Happy Owl Glassworks, and she has a product line that includes jewelry, but also household items like small fused glass dishes and things like that. Jenny Hart is someone that a lot of people are familiar with her or her business. She's based out of Austin, Texas, and Jenny Hart founded a company, I believe 7 or 8 years ago, called Sublime Stitching. And Jenny basically realized that embroidery patterns had not been redesigned for something like 30 or 40 years. And she took it upon herself to make a line of embroidery patterns that she then got manufactured and started a company that basically revolutionized the embroidery industry. And she also has a fine art career based on her own embroidered iconic portraits that are absolutely stunning. There is a woman in New York named Sabrina Gershwantner. And Sabrina is a multimedia artist and curator who founded a magazine called Knit Knit. And Knit Knit explored the kind of crossover of fine craft and contemporary craft and DIY craft with knitting and textiles. And she put out this publication on a fairly regular basis, and then it, recently Knit Knit came out as a book. And Sabrina continues to work as a curator and a promoter of craft and knitting and community-based interactive projects.
Why is this important? I mean, why does it need to be documented? What is it that it's being said here about our culture or about this culture that you think deserves a wider audience?
Well, I guess my feeling is that when you have so many people who go through their life doing something that they're so unhappy with and they don't think about why they're doing it, what their purpose is or what their motivation is, and they're completely uninspired and, you know, sad, that when you find a community, a large, huge community of people who are excited and motivated and creating and producing and sharing and, you know, connecting and building something, that that's a really powerful, exciting thing that's happening. And so when I saw that going on, my feeling was that this needed to be captured, that energy and that excitement. On a larger, grandiose level, I don't know, you know, what impact that will have. I mean, I guess I hope that if someone's not familiar with what's happening and they come across my book or my film, and it makes them consider the fact that they could just pick up a material that they've never used and try it out. And they've never considered that because no one's ever told them that you can just do that, then that, to me, would mean that what I'm doing is really important and valid. So I think just reminding people that they can do whatever they want is a really important message. And I think that the people that I've interviewed and the people whose work that I'm showing really hopefully communicates that feeling to a larger audience.
So on the one hand, someone might be inspired to take up a craft, maybe something that he or she had been thinking about or considering, or it might also serve as a degree of validation to somebody who maybe has been crafting a bit in isolation all by herself.
Oh, absolutely. Or just even considering stepping away from your, you know, routine or your life that you've had because you've never, I mean, sometimes you don't think about doing something until someone offers that option to you. And so I know personally the first time that I was showed a zine as a teenager, I had never considered the fact that I could photocopy and draw and write out a bunch of stuff and make my own publication and just hand it out to people until I saw that someone else was doing that. And so I guess the idea of just getting that idea out there that you can do whatever you want is incredibly important to me.
We've talked about the people making the crafts, but what sort of effect is there on those who are going to fairs, galleries, and stores to buy them?
I'm in contact with, you know, most of the major organizers of the indie shows that happen across the country. And every show that happens, there's more and more and more people coming and supporting these events. You know, I just got an email from the organizer of the craft fair in Minneapolis called the No Coast. And they told me that last November they had 10,000 people coming through their show. So, I mean, there's definitely something that people are excited about and are there's an excitement about, you know, art and craft. People want to come and experience that, and they want to see. I think people are just so tired of seeing the same stuff, and anything that can, you know, make them feel like an individual. And, you know, again, the trend of buying locally and being green and just supporting your community, it feeds into that as well, and it all kind of helps the larger flow of what's going on. And so I don't have any exact numbers except for just knowing that it's not slowing down and it's not stopping and things are just getting bigger and, you know, people are excited to make things and people are excited to support the people who are making them.
And so you have your own store and gallery. What do you see in the people who come to your store?
I live in, you know, I'm based in Milwaukee. You know, it's a fairly large metropolitan city, but it's not comparable to Chicago or Minneapolis. And even here, our store's Paper Boat Boutique and Gallery has been open for, we're in our third year. And, you know, we continually get new customers in who said that they heard about our store, or more often than not, if they saw someone wearing something or they saw someone who had something from our store. And again, I think it's just that people are like looking for something different. They're looking for something that's, you know, unique. And that's what we offer. We offer products that are exclusively from the people who create them. And so we have that to offer the consumer, as we have something that, you know, there's only going to be X amount made because it's just one person or a small company doing that.
Finally, Faith, tell me, what can we expect to see in the Handmade Nation book and documentary, and when will we see them?
So the book comes out in October, and it's published by Princeton Architectural Press. I know that Barnes & Noble is going to carry it, and it's available on Amazon and, you know, a lot of independent bookstores and museums are picking up. We actually just found out that the book has done so well with pre-sales. They're doing a second edition already, which is really exciting.
Wow. And does this contain profiles?
Yeah. The book features 24 people that we interviewed over the course of shooting the documentary. So we pulled 24 people out, and we pulled out excerpts of their interviews. The interviews are written in first person, and then each featured maker has about 4 to 7 pages of images of their work environment and what they make. And the interviews all talk about different things, like your process, your motivation, where you're coming from, where you're trying to go. So it's a big variety, and it's all in everyone's own voice, which is really nice. The book's laid out by region, and then between each region, we have an essay by a different contributing essayist. And the foreword for the book was written by Andrew Wagner, who's the editor-in-chief at American Craft Magazine. So it's a really lovely, I think, compilation of a lot of different type of work and a lot of different type of people. And then the documentary, we started shooting a documentary in 2006, and we shot for about a year and a half. We've been in post for about a year and a half, so it's been a 3-year process so far. It will be a feature-length documentary. It's going to be 65 minutes in length, and we're entering into film festivals this fall, and it will premiere at a location to be announced in early 2009. However, I did just confirm with the Museum of Art and Design in New York that we're going to be doing a screening in February, which will be our New York premiere. So that's kind of an exciting event to look forward to. And then in late April, we'll be doing a premiere in Portland, Oregon at the Museum of Contemporary Craft.
Wow. It sounds like from just the pre-sales of your book and the interest in the documentary that there's a lot of pent-up demand out there.
Yeah, people can really relate to craft and art because everyone knows someone who makes something. It's very approachable, which I think is really exciting. That it's, you know, someone, you know, everyone has, you know, a grandmother who, you know, crocheted an afghan at some point, or a mom who made them a Halloween costume, or a girlfriend who knit them a hat or something. You know, there's, it's so easy to be like, oh, I know someone, or my coworker, you know, makes jewelry and she sells it, you know, on the weekends at the farmer's market. So it's a very, it's very welcoming and very open, which I think is really, really exciting.
I'm really excited to see the documentary when it's done, and I enjoyed the excerpt that you have up. It's available on YouTube. I wish you luck, and thank you very much for taking some time.
Oh, yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
That was Faith Levine, crafter, documentary filmmaker, and author, talking about her forthcoming book and film, both called Handmade Nation. You can learn more about those projects at handmadenationmovie.com. Faith is also the co-proprietor of the Paper Boat Boutique in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and that website is paperboatboutique.com. And that brings to a close another edition of Media Geek. I will be back in one more week with more news and views in our media environment. And of course, you can check out Media Geek online at mediageek.net. That's home to the Media Geek blog. The radio show is at radio.mediageek.net. You can download MP3s. You can listen to it in your browser or subscribe to the podcast. If you have any comments about the program, please send them to me, paul@mediageek.net. And Media Geek airs on community radio stations around North America, like KQRP in Salida, California, CKDU in Halifax, Nova Scotia, and the spiritual home station of Media Geek, where it all started, is WEFT 90.1 FM in Champaign, Urbana, Illinois. And the show is free to air to any non-commercial station. Just drop me a line, paul@mediageek.net, to let me know you're playing it. Thanks for tuning in.